Hey, hey, Heat Nation. Welcome back to Heaters Gonna Heat. I'm your host, Kyle Russell, here to chat a little about our favorite NBA team, the Miami Heat. And double thank you for showing up after what was now a three-game losing streak, including an absolutely embarrassing, arguably worst loss of the season to the Washington Wizards yesterday. So, game plan for today is going to be go through the games last week, four to go through. And then in the middle segment, I wasn't sure what I was going to talk about this week, but I figured it out. We're going to talk about why the Heat have been sucking on this three-game losing streak recently. And then, as usual, we'll look ahead to next week. We're in March. We're in the thick of the playoff push. Let's jump right on in. So, last week, Miami went 1-3, bringing their overall record 35-29. Still at least staying above 500, and still at least, you know, in the mix, as we'll see later on, for a playoff spot in the ensuing weeks. But first, we go back to last Tuesday, where Miami hosted the Detroit Pistons. Talk about them a little bit more later on. In a game that Miami won, their only win of the week, 118-110. Listed out for the game and out for the entire week of games, both Kevin Love and Tyler Hero. Fortunately, there wouldn't be any more surprises later on in the week. Recap for the game itself. After a very clunky start, Heat went 4-4 from 3 in the first quarter en route to a 10-point lead after the first. But a bad start and close to the second quarter would see Miami only up 1 going into halftime. And this was a little reminiscent of what we had seen from the Detroit Pistons way back at the beginning of the season, where despite, you know, despite the record, very, very bad record, with I think the NBA losing streak now of like 27 games that they had, they still are a competitive team because they are still a team with talent, and showcasing it in the second quarter, bringing it down to 1. Early in the third quarter, the Pistons would take the lead before Miami responded with a 15-0 run of their own. They take a double-digit lead off of that, though that would get trimmed down to just 5 going into the fourth quarter. And then the fourth quarter itself, the Heat kept a small lead down the stretch, and then Jimmy Butler just closed things out to make sure that there was no doubt about it. Heat ultimately get their one win of the week. Player of the game goes right back to, I just mentioned, Jimmy Butler. 26 points, T-Mai, 26 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals on 7-13 from the field, 1-3 from 3-point range, so still had that 3-point streak going. That would break this week, unfortunately. And 11-12 from the free throw line. And scored 15 of his 26 points in the fourth quarter to put the game away. I mean, that's exactly what we want to see from Jimmy Butler. Maybe we can see a little bit more of that in the future. Interesting stats from this game. Miami won this off of 3-point shooting, going 14 of 31, good for 45%, versus the Pistons, 12 of 42, good for 29%. So, you know, smaller volume, yes, but much more efficient. And ultimately, they still end up making more threes than the Pistons, 14 of 12. Turnovers and points points off of turnovers were a slight win towards the Heat, whereas offensive rebounds and second chance points were a slight loss for them. And then the field goal percentage, they won that 49-44%, and then free throws were, you know, pretty close. Miami 20-23, Pistons 20-22. So really did come down mainly to the 3-point shooting being the difference in this game. And then honorable mentions, Duncan Robinson, really good stat line, 18 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, a block, with 4-9 from 3-point range. Terry Rozier looking more consistent, 17 points, 2 rebounds, 7 assists, with 3 of 6 from 3-point range. Those two really do look like they could be a legitimate starting backcourt. And I'm coming around more to the idea of, like, hey, if Tyler Hero comes back and he ends up coming off the bench, it's not the worst thing in the world. Duncan and Rozier would still be a hell of a starting combo. But moving on to the next game, Miami would go onto the road, really tough road back-to-back. Last Thursday at the Dallas Mavericks, a game that the Heat lost 108-114. Injury report, same as before. Recap for the game itself. Heat came out strong with a 15-point first quarter lead, but that slipped to just 8 at the end of the first as the bench started to give up a little bit of the lead. And then in the second, the Heat did keep a small lead. It got tied at 50 at one point later on, but then the Heat pulled away to close out the second quarter up 4 at half. And things, you know, in typical going in Miami's fashion, and you're thinking, all right, at least, hey, if we can get the Mavs game, then the Thunder game would just be gravy. The following night would just be gravy. Unfortunately, not the case. Third quarter, Luka Doncic exploded, and the Heat just could not keep pace with him, leading to both losing the lead and being down by a significant amount, down four going into the fourth. And then in the fourth itself, Miami was still competitive, taking the lead at one point with about 4.5 minutes left, but just unable to hold on to that lead as Luka Doncic either scored or assisted on multiple baskets down the stretch to eventually get the Mavs the win. Player of the game for this one, I'm giving to Terry Rozier. Earned Terry Rozier his best game in a Heat uniform so far. 27 points, 6 rebounds, 11 assists, 1 steal, with no turnovers. On an efficient 10 of 17 from the field, 5 of 8 from 3-point range, 2-2 from the free throw line. 12 points in the third to try to keep pace with Doncic, who I think had like 15 or 17 points in the third quarter. Fortunately, it ended up not being enough, but the biggest reason why the Heat were even competitive in this game in the first place, Terry Rozier playing phenomenally. And again, important to look back and think about how Terry first started out with the Heat, not looking in rhythm, shot not dropping, to now where it's like, all right, looks like we're past the slump. Maybe we're getting good, productive Rozier games from here on out. Interesting stats for this game. This was mainly lost on the boards. Miami getting blasted on, especially offensive rebounds, losing that 2-10, and second chance points 5-16. And also from the free throw line, Miami going 11 of 17 compared to the Mavs 18-23. And in a 6-point game, a little of both of those, or even just one of those swinging more to Miami's favor, could have been the difference. And then honorable mentions here. Bam, an inefficient 14 points, a 5 of 14 from the field, 4 of 8 from the free throw line. Jimmy, though, did score 14 as well. Just wasn't really felt. He only went 1 of 2 from the free throw line, so he wasn't getting to the line either. He was just making a few good jumpers. I don't believe he made a 3 in this game, so this is where the streak died for that. But at least the game was competitive. In a night where Luka Doncic himself also went for a pretty bonkers stat line, 35-11-11. So at least you can walk away from that saying like, hey, Miami's two best players didn't play that well, while the Mavs' best players, like Kyrie Irving had a pretty solid game for him, like 23 points on solid efficiency. Luka played out of his mind, and the game was still competitive. Like, again, walk away with a little bit of a moral victory. And a little bit of the same thing as you move on to Friday's night's game against the Oklahoma City Thunder, a game that the Heat would also lose 100-107. Injury report, same as before. Recap for this game. A very back-and-forth first quarter saw Miami up 2. Then early in the second quarter, they expanded their lead to double digits and held from there to be up 10 at the half. So despite being on second out of back-to-back, Heat in the driver's seat against the Thunder team that honestly kind of looked like they were taking it a little bit for granted, and I think that shows in the second half where they came up with more urgency. Third quarter, a few minutes into it, the Heat collapsed on both ends of the court as the Thunder really locked in, going on a 17-0 run to take the lead from Miami. The Heat team would only end up scoring 16 points themselves in the third quarter, so that 17-point run alone was more than what the Heat scored in the quarter, and down 4 going into the fourth. And then the fourth quarter itself, the Heat did stay close. Like, it was never an instance where it broke out to double digits. I think it was around, like, 3-8. Maybe a few times they got as close as 2. But they never took the lead. And down the stretch of, like, a closing few minutes of the game, the Thunder did widen the lead until it was eventually a 7-point loss. So that's why I was saying, like, it seemed, looking back at this, it seemed more like the kind of game where the Thunder came in taking this for granted that the Heat run the second half of the back-to-back and had lost prior. Heat came out, punched him in the mouth, and Thunder, to their credit, punched Miami back, and then the Heat just could not respond. Moving on, though, to player of the game, Jaime Jaquez had a phenomenal game. 25 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals on a really efficient 10 of 13 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3-point range, 4 of 6 from the free throw line. Though a little bit of an encapsulation of what happened with this Heat team in general, where he scored 17 of his 25 points in the first half, only 8 points in the second half as the Thunder locked back down. But overall between his attacks in transition and what he was doing in the half court or just cutting off of other people's actions, this is looking a lot more like the Jaime Jaquez before the groin injury in April, like back how he was playing in November, December, when we just couldn't stop raving about him. And kind of like with Rozier the night before with the Mavs, the Heat aren't even competitive in this game against the Thunder without Jaime Jaquez. I mean, think of it this way, right? He scored 25 points, Heat scored 100. He accounted for a fourth of the Heat's points. This is a rookie. Moving on from that now. Interesting stats from this. It really is a tale of two halves. Just about everything that was going right for Miami in the first half just went wrong for them in the second. Like turnovers, free throws, offensive rebounds, field goal percentage. Everything shifts in the second half. And like I mentioned, to a degree, I give a lot of this to the Oklahoma City Thunder for locking in on the second half. But also to a degree, should probably be said that this is the second night of a back-to-back on the road against two very tough opponents, and that he just ran out of energy down the stretch. But just to at least give a number stat, and in a little bit of a mirror to what happened with Jaime Jaquez, you look at SGA for the Oklahoma City Thunder. 14 points on good efficiency in the first half, but then explodes for 23 points in the second half for a total of 37 and leading the Thunder to a victory, especially down the stretch. And then honorable mentions for this one, Patty Mills, who had been signed last week to make up for Josh Richardson, who is now out for the season for a shoulder injury. Patty Mills played his first game, really great, 13 points on 5-9 from the field, 3-4 from three-point range. And then the other mentioned, Nikola Jovic. It looks like he's back to taking backup 5 minutes with both Thomas Bryant and Orlando Robinson just seemingly out of the rotation. It seems like Spo's looking at this like, all right, Kevin Love's out right now. I've tried Bryant a little bit. I've tried Orlando a little bit. I've tried playing both of them. I've tried finding a hot hand between one or two of them. I've tried playing one for a good stretch. I've played the other for a good stretch. Forget all this. Jovic is young. Just give him the minutes. And that seems to be the answer going forward, as we'll see in future games as well. At least until Kevin Love is back, which, man, do we really need Kevin Love back to play the backup five? But moving on to the last game and the worst game on this docket, arguably the worst loss of the season. Yesterday, Sunday, hosting the Washington Wizards, the game that the Heat lost 108-110. Injury report, same as before. To go through the recap real quick, a very sluggish start for Miami and some good ball movement by the Wizards kept things close. Heat up only two after the first. And then in the second quarter, the Heat would expand their lead. And I won't lie, at the time I was like, all right, thankfully, this is where Miami just exerts their will and this is going to be the end of the game. Nope. They would proceed to just give up their lead soon afterwards. It would be cut back to three, but the Heat would close well to be up six at the half. So it's like, all right, y'all are playing with fire now. Do what the Thunder did a few nights before, lock in on the second half, and end this. Third quarter, after some ties, the Heat would build a lead again, but they would continue to squander it and would only be up one going into the fourth. But they do still have the lead. And then in the fourth quarter itself, the Heat lost the lead, giving up multiple runs, eventually being down 10 with about 2.5 minutes left, and then deciding to lock in. To their credit, they go on an 8-0 run. They cut it down to 108-110. They get a crucial offensive foul on Kyle Kuzma down the stretch when he just smacks Terry Rozier in the face. They have the ball with 12 seconds left, down 2 points. They can tie it or they can take the win. Duncan Robinson shoots a three, brick. Jimmy Butler grabs the offensive rebound, throws up another three, brick. And that's the game. And baby recency bias is getting me, but this is the worst loss of the season, given the context of the time and everything like that. Player of the game, I actually give this one to Jimmy as well. 23 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, a block. 9-20 from the field, 0-4 from 3-point range, 5-6 from the free throw line. Mainly because he was the only 20-point scorer on the team, but was a bad 2-9 from the field in the fourth. So this is one of those more so like, all right, somebody had to be the best player for Miami this day. Well, guess it's you. Interesting stats for this. Wizards really won this off of ball movement. 35 assists on 39 main shots is phenomenal. This reminiscent of what the Heat did to the Kings back in January to break their losing streak. And then the Heat lost on three-point shooting, going 10 of 33, good for 30%, to the Wizards, 16 of 39, good for 41%. And they didn't make it up from the free throw line either. Miami going 12 of 18, good for 67%, versus the Wizards, 16 of 22, good for 73%. And again, two-point game. Any of those swing closer to Miami's favor, they make one more three at the end, they're good. They make a few free throws, they're good. The margin was that close. But at the end of the day, they still had less points than the Wizards when the game was over, and therefore they lost. Just for mentions in this, Orlando Robinson would get some minutes, but when I went to go look at that, it was because Nikola Jovic was in foul trouble. So that holds constant, right? Bam's on the bench. He's getting his rest. Jovic is in there spelling him. Once Jovic gets the foul trouble, only then does Orlando get some minutes. So, again, I go back to the idea. I think that Jovic is going to be doing more backup five, at least until Kevin Love is back. Terry Rozier, at least 16 points and an efficient 8 of 16 from the field. We want, we're hoping to see a trend for that now where he's like in the mid-10s on solid efficiency. And then Bam Adebayo, a better 16 points, 16 rebound, because he hadn't gotten a double-double, I think, in like 6 or 7 games before this. So 16 points, 16 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, a block. But he no-showed in the fourth. It was like 0-1 from the field in the fourth quarter. And so now the Heat suffer their worst loss at the worst part of the season. At the very least, they got 2 days of rest before the next game. Maybe that gives them some time to figure things out. We'll see. So after last episode, I wasn't quite sure exactly what I would be talking about this week. And I was like, well, let's just see what the Heat show me over the last week. And what they showed me is a 3-game losing streak, which now has me a little bit concerned given the time of the year that we're in. Like, and the part of the bracket that we're in, which, good reminder, we're still in that like 4-8 range. So we're talking about the difference between hosting a first round of the playoffs and not even having home court in the 7-8 matchup. So today I'm asking the question, what's been going wrong with the Heat over these few games? Because at first, it doesn't look that bad, right? Mavs loss, Luka goes off. Thunder loss, second out of a back-to-back on the road, SGA goes off. And they're like, all right, that's fine. But then you come back and just drop a deuce against the Wizards. And it's like, okay, now you have our attention. And in trying to keep with the general rule of three, I'm giving what I think are the three biggest reasons for the troubles Miami's had over the last few games. First, injuries. I think we have kind of forgotten about it most recently when Miami's been just... they've had that great stretch of games where it was either everything was competitive against like really, really great teams, or they were beating everybody else. But, you know, Kevin Love has been out for, about a week and a half now. Tyler Herro has been out several weeks now. And I think we're starting to see the strain of that. Whether that means just like the minute distribution, you know, like Spo's been leaning more 7-8 guys with the multiple injuries, partially because of the time of the year it is, partially the sense of urgency, like multiple reasons for it. But end result is literally just having Love and Tyler Hout is two less bodies, which means those minutes get distributed to other players, and that could be increasing their burden. But with Tyler Herro out, I do think Duncan Robinson has at least done a really good job starting in terms of like providing scoring, providing spacing. Again, like I mentioned earlier, I would not be surprised at this point if Tyler Herro comes back and they try to just see if, like, hey, can you just go back to that six-man role? Just because Duncan's doing really well starting. I could also still see Tyler Herro starting and then going Duncan going like, hey, man, all that stuff you're doing, it's starting to get tampered down by the starting units because they're like really locking in on things like the drives, the passing, the lobs. Like Duncan starting to get respected as more as just like the 3-point shooter than he is. He's also the drive is getting respected. So maybe you move that to the bench and that could be a little bit more effective off of that. Because one of the things that has been a little concerning to me over these last three games, Duncan's assists have gone down, turnovers have gone up, meaning assist-to-turnover direction is going in the wrong direction. And that's where, like, I've seen it a little bit on the drives. They're not giving Duncan quite as much cushion. They're not as surprised when he's attacking the closeouts as much and he's getting into the paint. Like, their defense is seem more ready for it. And essentially, I mean, they've had almost an entire regular season now to start to adjust to it, and for that to show up on the scouting reports makes sense at this point. And then the other big injury, Kevin Love, especially for what it means for the backup five. And like I mentioned before, the Heat have been struggling to replace him with various combinations of Orlando Robinson and Thomas Bryant, and now seems like the Spo's just going with, okay, I'm just going to take those minutes and pile them onto Jovic and give him more run. Which I'm still in favor of. I know Jovic came out earlier in the season, said he's not a five. Butler came out and said he's not a five. So I think in the ideal circumstance, like with a Kevin Love back, for example, Jovic isn't playing the backup five. Kevin Love is. But under these circumstances, yeah, give Jovic those. And I do still think they're good reps for him, because I think like the long-term vision for this is something like a Jovic that's capable of guarding centers so that Bam can switch it onto the perimeter. So I'm actually fine with the Jovic minutes. But again, it shows that there is a struggle that Miami is having with a specific role on the team, and it seems like Kevin Love's the only piece that they have available to fit that spot. So, not ideal. So, first reason, injuries. Second reason for the struggles recently, honestly, and I hate to call him out for it because I do think he's great, Bam Adebayo. Particularly the scoring and the efficiency. So, down in free throw percentage, down in field goal percentage. Slightly down, I believe, in field goal attempts, though the free throw attempts are about the same. But because the percentages are down, the points production is way down. And this is, again, a good opportunity to take a step back and be like, hey, we have a Bam Adebayo who's around a 20-10 guy on offense and then a defensive player of the year level on defense. It's a really, really big burden, but I think it is starting to get down. His net rating in specific has plummeted on both because of both ends of the court. Both his defensive rating has shot up, which is the wrong direction. Offensive rating has shot down, which is the wrong direction. And it has me wondering, essentially, if fatigue is starting to set in for him. So, Bam Adebayo, though, still 26 years old, I believe. So, he's entering his athletic prime. I don't think it is an issue of age. Nor do I think it's injury, at least not anything that's been majorly announced. I think the Heat would have given him a little more rest, like a day or two off, if that was the instance. I think it's quite literally just fatigue, with the fact that he has kept this level of production on the defensive end for several years, and then continued to add on the offensive end a little bit every year, and maybe we're about approaching the limit of it right now. So where does the Heat go from here? For the short term, I think it is looking to set up Bam in better positions. So, like, maybe a little bit less just drop it off to Bam in the post, because I'm seeing more double teams coming at Bam when he does that, and he doesn't quite have the passing angle. He hasn't figured out the passing angles yet to get out of those. So less of those, maybe more, like, runs, lobs to the rim. Just try to find him easier opportunities so he's not exerting as much when he's at least making the field goal attempt on offense. Long term, we already know what the long term solution is. It's going to be stretching out the floor, spacing out to the 3-point line, at least trying to be a threat from there, and then that'll open up more stuff. Not only from the fact that defenses are going to give that to Bam, like it's kind of like a Giannis Antetokounmpo, right? Or a Joel Embiid. Like, you want them to take as many threes as they want to take. So defenses will let him take that. And if you can punish them for it, all the better. And if not, then at least it's exerting less energy than trying to like bang his way inside, and he can conserve some of that for the defensive end. Of course, the other potential solution for this is quite literally just rest. Like, he'd have 2 days off now, so, and this is all after, you know, again, a rough road trip, after a rough road trip to start the post-All-Star break. So maybe just giving him a day off today and, you know, doing the practice tomorrow and then get back at it Wednesday, that could be enough to help relieve some of the problems. But the last problem for the Heat over these last few games has been their defense. Both ends have been worse, offense and defensive end, but the defensive end is where their identity is. So when defense is bad, that's when it's especially noticeable, right? So over the last few games, they're giving up more three-point attempts on higher three-point percentage than their season average, and more offensive rebounds leading to more second-chance points than their season average. And while the turnover percentage is roughly the same, there has been an increase in fast break points given up, which to me suggests that essentially teams are just trying to push transition against the Heat, whether off of defensive rebounds of their own or even off of makes from the Heat. So when I look at this, it makes me think that there's like an effort problem right now because the Heat don't seem to be sticking to their defensive principles. So like, again, a lot of what the Heat do is based upon limiting opponent field goal attempts. And one of the big ways they do that, limit opponent offensive rebounds. So if they're giving up more offensive rebounds, that's because I don't think they're getting in there and grabbing them as much. Same with like fast break points. A lot of what the Heat do is, hey, get back in transition, limit opponents in the from getting a fast break point, make them earn it in the half court. And that's not going quite as well. And it's not like the turnovers are going up to give that an explanation. And then on top of that, there has been the problems that Bam Adebayo has been having that I've been mentioning. And it could be really an easy situation where, you know, Bam goes in, he tries to attack at the rim, he misses, he lands on the ground, and the other team is pushing in transition while Bam's trying to get up and get down the court. And that's going to lead to an easier opportunity for the opposing team. Some of it, like I said with Bam, could also be the fatigue. All the road games, not as much rest, rough road back-to-back. But now at least they have a few days off. And then the last explanation I could give for the defense is the problems on the offensive end. Because, especially for this Heat team, their offensive problems tend to bleed into the defense. Whether that's them taking long threes that then lead to long rebounds, that then lead to transition opportunities for opposing teams. Whether that's just like the general effort, like, oh, I didn't see the ball go in. And you have that half second where you're down on yourself. And then you realize you're, you know, a half second behind the play on the other end. At the very least, one of the things I can feel confident in, though, this team has Eric Spoelstra. He knows that they're a defense-first team, and he will chew them out and get them back to that level. And then maybe the last point just to encapsulate this whole thing, there is still the possibility that this is just a little bit of an overreaction after a tough road back-to-back loss followed by a pretty fluky game and a loss against the Washington Wizards. So we'll have to see what it ends up being going forward. Now let's move ahead to the next week of Heat basketball. First up, the injury report. Both Kevin Love and Tyler Hero still listed out with no indication of when they'll be back. This, again, could be in a few more games, could be in a week or two. I don't know. I just hope it's sooner than later at this point. And then officially Josh Richardson out for the season with a shoulder injury, hence the Patty Mills signing. I think Patty Mills will do a good job replacing him. And I think Spoelstra can do a thing where, like, hey, if a game needs more offense, he can lean Patty Mills. If a game needs more defense, he can lean DeLon Wright. You know, options are always good for Spoelstra. That's it for the injury report. Looking at the standings real quick, Heat still in, though they are currently the 8th, they are still in that 4-8 mix, which is still separated by only 2 games. Again, five teams separated by 2 games. And we're pretty much locked into this group at this point. There's a 4-game separation between the 3rd seed and the 4th seed, which is currently the Knicks, and a 4-game separation between the 8th seed, currently the Heat, and the 9th seed, the Chicago Bulls. So either direction you want to go, we're pretty much locked. It just seems to be where the positioning is going to be within this group. Looking now to the schedule for the Heat this week, they will finish up a 2-game homestand Wednesday and then start a 4-game road trip over the weekend. So first up this Wednesday, doesn't get any easier. The Denver Nuggets defending NBA champs. This is a Nuggets team that has a 44-20 record, second in the West. Heat are already down 0-1 in a best-of-2 series after they were at Denver about a week and a half ago. Close game, but still, unfortunately, a loss very reminiscent of what ended up happening in the finals. Looking at the injury report for the Nuggets, they're all healthy in terms of like their main rotation. Players to watch out for, I mean, they got a whole list. Top of the list is still Nikola Jokic. I think the best player in basketball right now, at least the most unstoppable. Like, again, gives me, like, you know, mid-2010s LeBron vibes when I watch him play. Not from the style, but more so from, like, the impact, the inevitability of it all that he has in a game. But beyond him, Jamal Murray, his pick-and-roll partner, Aaron Gordon, his favorite lob threat, and a legitimate defender. You know you're going to see him on Jimmy Butler. And then Michael Porter Jr., who ended up torching the Heat in the last game, I think for like 32 points or something. But just really tall shooter. And if he's impactful, it's really hard for the Heat to contain him because of his size. Looking at some stats for the Nuggets real quick. They're 7th in offensive rating, 10th in defensive rating, 27th in pace. So elite on both ends. Things that they do really well. First in 2-point attempts. Imagine a lot of that is like Jokic passes into like Gordon or Cutters or things like that. 4th in assists. Makes sense with Jokic and Murray. 4th in field goal percentage. They get great shots because of the passing. And then on the defensive end, 2nd in opponent 3-point attempts while being 13th in opponent 3-point percentage. That's where all those long defenders they have, Gordon, MPJ, I mean, even Jamal Murray or KCP, get out and push on the perimeter and to limit the attempts because they know they got a big body in Jokic behind him who has subtly become like a positive defensive presence when he used to be just a turnstile early on in his career. For things that the Nuggets do bad, it's a little tough. They're a really good team. But I guess they're 27th in free throw rate, 29th in three-point attempt rate. They're not really trying to get their points off. Again, not like a Miami, right? They're not trying to get to the line a bunch. They're not being a Celtics and bomb it from three. They just get inside. They find good cutters. They pass the ball really well, and they get great shots inside the three-point arc. That's their whole plan. So if Miami can hone in on that, it at least forces them to do things that they're not comfortable with, which might be about the best thing that you can do against this Nuggets team. A storyline for this game. Can the Heat wash out Sunday's performance with a win over the defending champs? Because, believe me, if they beat Denver tomorrow, this whole three-game losing streak doesn't mean anything. I would gladly take a win over the Nuggets if it meant a loss over the Wizards. That would make me feel better going into the playoffs, at least beat Denver once. Moving on from Wednesday's game to this Friday, the Heat go on the road, starting their road trip with a home-and-home at the Detroit Pistons. So first game will be Friday. This is a Pistons team that has a 10-53 record, 15th in the East, down 0-2 in a best-of-4. I mean, I recapped the second game we played, and the first game was all the way back at the beginning of the season. Looking at the injury report for the Pistons, the only one of significance is their rookie, Ausar Thompson, but he's only listed day-to-day, so I would imagine he's probably good to go by Friday. Looking at players next for them, Cade Cunningham, that dude legit, he produced in both of the games against Miami, and they seem to have a little bit of difficulty containing him. And then I'm also going to shout out, if I can say his name right, Fontecchio. I don't know his first name, but he was with the Utah Jazz. I remember him doing some damage to Miami early in the season. Then he got traded to Detroit, and he was part of the reason why the Pistons were still kind of hanging around in that last game as well. So I got my eye on him for like a potential random scrub Heat killer kind of person. Looking at stats for the Pistons, very much the opposite from the Nuggets. Very bad team. 25th in offensive rating, 30th in defensive rating, 8th in pace. So They at least get out and try to get their cardio. Things that the Pistons do well, they're 2nd in 2-point attempts, which I think is less by design and more so just they're getting one off the 3-point line. They're 3rd in opponent 3-point attempts, so at least their defense tries to hone in and limit opponents' chances from beyond the arc. For things that they do bad, pretty much everything else. But the main highlights to point out there, 30th in personal fouls, and 30th in opponent free throw attempts. So good opportunity for Bam and Jimmy to get to the line, maybe try to get a little bit of rhythm there. One thing I didn't mention for Bam that's also been really bad has been the free throw percentage. So get to the line, try to get that right. And then the Pistons are also 29th in turnovers per game while being 30th in opponent steals. So this could also be an opportunity for, like a Jimmy to get out and poke the ball and, turn some defense to offense, get some easy points that way. Like, there are going to be opportunities there for the Heat to lean into things, lean into battles that they typically win and like to win in order to win this game as well. And then storyline for this game against the Pistons, the Heat need every win they can get. They already squandered one of those easy wins with the Wizards yesterday. So can they get an easy win against the Pistons? Yes, it's on the road, but it's still the Pistons. They're 10-53. After the game Friday, like I mentioned, the Heat will have a home-and-home where they will stay in Detroit and play them again this Sunday. And so, therefore, things like record, injury report, players, stats, it's all going to be the same. So the only difference really is the storylines. And the fun thing about the home-and-home is that the storylines are kind of built in. What changes or adjustments are made from Friday night to Sunday night for both teams, right? So whether that's the Heat did really well and they won Friday night, cool. Then the onus is on the Pistons to make adjustments, and then it'll be on the Heat to respond to them Sunday and try to close out the season series with a sweep. Or it could be the opposite. Maybe the Heat screw up Friday night and would cause a whole lot of other concerns, but then it'll be on the Heat to make adjustments Sunday to at least walk away splitting that and getting a win. I both think and hope, though, that the Heat are looking at this more so like, hey, we have an opportunity to sweep this team and pick up two easy wins. Again, with all the competition going on in the East standings right now, every win is needed, and they don't get much easier than Detroit and Washington. After that game on Sunday, though, the Heat road trip will continue. Irritatingly enough, another road back-to-back. They will be at Philly next Monday night, but I'll have a podcast out before that previewing that, so we'll talk about that next week. Also next week, not quite sure exactly what we'll talk about. I'm kind of going to do it like I did this one. Let me see what the Heat show us or show me over the next week, and we'll talk about that then. Maybe it's something like breaking down the last few weeks of the schedule in a worst-case scenario. But for now, I do thank you for hanging around. That'll be all for this episode. Please, if you can, follow the pod at Heaters Heating and myself at KBR Heat Culture off of X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Also, check out the other great pods we have at OTG Basketball, Full Access Pacers, Brooklyn Buzz, Celtics Lab. They're always doing great work over there for their respective podcasts. Links for everything are in the show notes as usual. I'll be back next week. So until then, hope you all have a great one, Heat Nation.